That's a good way to start off the service tonight. Amen. 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. I remember as a kid going to the Battle of the Songs at Will Rogers Coliseum Auditorium when I was a kid. And they'd bring in a lot of the Southern Gospel groups. And one of the groups one year when I was a kid sang that song. And they just kept on going. I bet they sang that song for 10 minutes. And just kept up in the old key. And it was it made an impression on me as a kid. One of my sayings right now when I'm with my friends is, this is the hungriest I've ever been in my life. So every meal, I'll say to my wife, this is the hungriest I've ever been in my entire life. And I've been trying to, you know, cut back a little bit. And so this is the hungriest I've ever been in my entire life. I love that song. I've never been more homesick than tonight. Never been this homesick before. And there is times, isn't there, when you just wish, more so than others, when you wish the Lord to come back. And we believe, the Bible teaches the imminent return of Christ, and maybe He'll come back tonight. And we can just, won't have to think about the election or anything else going on, and they could have it, and we'll be gone, and that would be awesome, right? It could be tonight. Turn up your Bibles again, 2 Peter chapter 1. Let's start in verse 16. Verse 16, "For we have not followed cunningly devised fables, when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of His majesty." So think about Peter now. He's saying, hey, we didn't follow fairy tales. Amen. We didn't follow cunningly devised fables, but we were witnesses of what Jesus did. We witnessed His miracles. We witnessed the things that He did. "For we received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to Him from the excellent glory, 'This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased.' And this voice, which came from heaven, we heard when we were with Him in that holy mount." He said, hey, we heard the voice of God. Amen. We heard the voice of God. I don't know about you, but I have not verbally heard the voice of God. But Peter's saying, hey, we heard God's voice. Just like Abraham heard God's voice. Just like Moses heard God's voice. And Elijah talked with God and heard God's voice. We got to hear the voice of God. Verse 19. "We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place." He said, listen, but we have a more sure word of prophecy. We have it better now than we did then. We have a more sure word of prophecy. You holding it in your lap. He's saying that though they saw the miracles Jesus performed, and though they saw all the things that Christ did, and though they heard the voice from God, He's saying, we have a more sure word of prophecy. The word of God. It says there in verse, again, look with me, verse 19. "Whereunto you do well that you take heed as unto a light that shines in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts." And that's kind of where we're going to be at tonight. Until the day dawn and the day star arise in your heart. So as you read the Bible, as you read the Scripture, that day star, the sun, S-O-N, arises in our hearts. "Knowing this first, that no prophecies of the Scriptures of any private interpretation, for the prophecy..." So just in case you were wondering, is He talking about the Scripture or not? The context tells you He's talking about the Bible. "For prophecy came not in old time by the will of God, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost." And so again, we have a more sure word of prophecy, and that book guides us. That book leads us and helps us. "Take heed that you, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in our hearts." So tonight we're going to continue our series that we started a few months back, and we're going to finish it up this Wednesday and next Wednesday. And then Brother Wiggins will take over, and he'll preach for 5-6 weeks. And so this Wednesday night. This evening, the title is Devotions at Dawn. Devotions at Dawn. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You tonight for Your love. We thank You for the opportunity again we have to meet together as a church family, to gather around Your Word. Help us again to remember the importance of having our daily walk. In Jesus' name, amen. We need a daily renewal. 2 Corinthians 4:16, the Bible says, "But though the outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day." Christianity, again, is a daily process. This is a daily battle. It's a war. It's a battle against the old nature versus the new nature. And remember what Paul said in Romans chapter 7. He says, But God gave the victory. God, he said, the things I want to do, those are the things I don't do. The things I should do, those are the things I do. And he went back and forth. He said, there's a war within my members. But he said, but I thank God who giveth the victory. Can I tell you that God will and can give you victory in your Christian life? You can have a daily walk with him. You can walk and a victorious Christian life. You can have a victorious Christian life. You can walk worthy of the calling where which you've been called. I want to walk worthy, don't you? I want to walk worthy of what that God has called me. And so, remembering that, there is a, listen to this now, there is a connection between our devotional life and managing our everyday life. Again, we think about parenting. Our devotional life, our walking with God will help us in parenting. Our devotional life is connected to our work and how we deal with people at work and how we deal with our bosses and so forth. How our daily walk is going is how we affects our marriage and how we deal with our spouses. Amen? That's just, it affects every area and it's directly connected to our daily life. So our daily walk is connected to our daily life. Our daily life. There's a difference between a life lived close to him and one that is not. Robert Murray McChaney said this. He said, never see the face of man until you have seen the face of God. Think about this. We take it for granted, but you know there's 24 hours in a day, right? And the day starts over every day. Right? Boy, that's some deep thought. There's 24 hours in every day, and the day starts over every day. The earth rotates on its axis, rotates around the sun, and the day starts over every day. I put in my notes, duh. I know that's not a technical term and not the greatest English term you can come up with, but, you know, we just take it for granted. But understand, 2 Peter here, 1:19, saying we should have a daily sunrise in our own hearts. S-O-N. There's a daily sunrise every morning, S-U-N, but in our hearts spiritually, there should be a daily sunrise, S-O-N, in our hearts. Think about it. The psalmist says in Psalm 5, verse 3, he speaks about in the morning. Let's turn to a couple of these. Look at Psalm 5. Psalm 5. I'll give you a couple of minutes to get there. Again, think about it now. There's the day starts over every day. I know that's we take that for granted. But I want to, again, emphasize to you that the Christian life starts over every day. The Christian life starts over every day. Take up thy cross daily and follow me. And Psalm 5 and verse 3, the psalmist says, this is the Psalm of David, he says, my voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee and will look up. Amen. Notice again the emphasis in the morning. Mark chapter 1, verse 35. And in the morning, speaking of Jesus, again, he had healed many sick of diverse diseases and cast out many devils and suffered not the devils to speak because they knew him. And verse 35, Mark chapter 1 says, and in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place and there prayed. Jesus Christ got up in the morning, and there he prayed. If Jesus needed a devotional life and a daily walk with his Heavenly Father, certainly we need it. And we are to follow his example. What an example he left for us. Christ got up in the morning. David speaks of in the morning, praying in the morning. So the foundation of our day is very important. Again, we all understand and believe and know that we have a physical body, but we also have a spiritual being. We're spiritual beings. Everybody with me? We're physical beings, but we also are spiritual beings, the soul and the spirit. And it's important to have a good spiritual foundation every morning when we wake up. In other words, we should get up in the morning and make sure our foundation spiritually is started off right. We've laid a couple of foundations here in the church, buildings that we've built, And it's neat to watch how they do it. And they drill these big, deep piers. And some of them are 18 inches around. Some of them have been 24 inches around, about 12, 13 foot down. And they hit that rock and they just continue to drill down another foot or two. And then they get tired of drilling and tired of wearing their bit out. They broke three bits, I think, on this building. And, and they stop. And they put in their rod, and they put in all the stuff, that the iron, and then they pour the cement in. And sometimes they bail out the bottom even and make it even bigger at the bottom, let it bail out a little ways. And it's just amazing. And this building and that building over there are sitting on big piers. If you took all the dirt around it off from it, technically it should stand without the dirt under it. So this is a neat concept. And I won't go into the other details about how they use cardboard, a floating slab. Somebody still got to teach me how that really works. But they say it does, so I believe the engineer, I guess. You take a piece of cardboard a quarter inch thick or even less and stick it between that, that pier and the slab, and think that it gives some movement to the slab. Somebody, I don't know. But anyway, but the foundation's important. It's been a lot of time. We had some trouble with the first contractor, and so on that building 10 years ago. And so when we started having trouble with him, the architect kind of got his ears perked up, and he said, okay, when you pour that foundation, I'm going to have the engineers come out, and they're going to watch you pour. And for that day and that night, all night long, a guy in a white hat stood out here and watched everything they did. He stood right there. If they weren't about to get by with anything. And that's because the foundation's important. And I love it, because when we built this building and we went back over there to drill piers in that building, we cut the slab and did all those things, the cement guy for this building said, man, that's a good slab over there. He was complimenting how much cement was in it. And I said, yeah, because some guy had to stand there and make sure they did it right. But the foundation's so important. And listen, we understand and know that. But in our own lives, spiritually, the foundation is important. And it's important that every day is started off with a good foundation. We talk about having, starting off physically with a good foundation in the morning, right? Having a good breakfast. Having a good breakfast. And, here lately, breakfast for me has been instant oatmeal, one package. 130 calories. Put a little water in it, but I personally like oatmeal. I have liked oatmeal. My dad used to make oatmeal growing up, malto meal, cream of wheat. I like it all. So that's what I've been eating. I'm not sure that that's really puts a lot of fire in the physical burner there, but it is at least something to get started with. And supposedly you want to, maybe I'll eat an apple as well. And you want to get the metabolism running and get the fire burning, and here we go, right? Well, spiritually, we want to do the same thing. We want to make sure that we prepare ourselves spiritually for the rest of the day and get that foundation settled. When the foundation isn't right, then we start seeing cracks in the walls, and we start seeing ceiling joist problems, and all these are indicators that something's not quite right. And when you don't start your morning off right with your feet on the rock of the Lord Jesus Christ, it's going to knock off and knock things out of kilter in your life during the day. Decisions are made a lot better. And that's the whole point in the introduction. Decisions are made a lot better when you're walking with Jesus. It's directly connected. Whether it's a family decision, a marital decision, whatever it may be, a work decision, a neighbor decision, all decisions are better if you walk with the Lord that morning. Amen. You say, well, I just don't have time. Well, we discussed that last week. We have time for what we're interested in, right, and what we have a heart for. And so you need to just, again, ask God, Lord, give me a heart for your word. And Lord, again, reignite my interest in your word. And he'll do that for you and help you in those areas. By the way, God can be trusted. God can be trusted at salvation to save us from God's wrath upon our sins. And I'm so thankful that I'm saved. But he also can be trusted in our everyday life, that we can rely upon him to safely carry us through every day. And so we need to go to him and every day take up our cross daily and follow him and have that sure foundation. Start the foundation off right. Number two, we think about the first in the day, of going to him first in the day. Again, devotions at dawn, going to Him first in the day. Brother Stewart pushed this a lot while he was here. It's about focusing on the Lord first in the morning, making Him priority. It signals who is number one in our lives. Is God number one in our lives? Is self number one? Is someone else number one? Who are you devoted to? And so when we get up in the mornings, it's taking some time. You say, well, time is limited, and that may be the case for you. But to take 5 minutes or 10 minutes, amen, or whatever you can that morning, and get up just a little earlier and spend just a little time with the Lord. And I've used to spend my time. I lived in Springtown up until the last 8 years, the first 8 years of this church's existence. I lived 35 to 45 minutes away, one way, for all those years. And I would spend most of my mornings coming to the church with my prayer time. And so, you know, you don't have to close your eyes to pray. But I wanted to make good use of that 35, 45 minutes, and so I used it to pray. And it to me now, it was kind of I look back at it fondly, because I did have a lot of time to do that. And so just keeping that track, keeping Him focused is first. By the way, not only is He putting God first, but it sends a message or it sends a signal to Satan that you're putting God first. By the way, Satan or one of his imps is watching you. Or at least, you know, somewhat. We don't know that's a fact, but you're being watched. He's looking for the crack in your armor. He's trying to find that weak spot, and he wants to destroy you. And get up in the morning, put on the whole armor of God. You may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil and start out right. Start off the day right. Having that, putting God first place in your life. God is priority. The Jewish people were taught to put God first. If you think about it for a second. They were to bring the firstborn lamb to the tabernacle. They were to bring their first fruits to the tabernacle. There was a special dedication process for the first child that was born. In other words, they were to bring the first to the Lord. Every morning, they were to burn incense in the tabernacle to the Lord. Every morning. First. We're to attend church on the first day of the week. So we go to Him daily as our foundation, putting God first every day. And then going to Him and worshiping on the first day of the week with our church family, emphasizing the new start. By the way, meeting on the first day of the week emphasizes the new start of the New Testament, having seen the Sabbath day fulfilled by the works of Christ. Again, we're starting on the first day of the week. So as Christians, we're starting our week off right by being here on Sunday. Sunday is not a part of the weekend. Amen. The world has got us all messed up. Sunday is not the weekend. Friday and Saturday are the weekend. Sunday's the first day of the week. Amen. And as Christians, we're to give our first day of the week to the Lord. We're to give Him our first day. Good. Start your week off right. And of course, I'm speaking mostly to the choir tonight. Most of you are here on Sunday, but just starting your week off right, it impacts and it's directly connected to everything in your life and how you handle situations in your own life. Christianity is so much more, so much about putting God first. Putting God first. It's not about me, it's all about Him. And putting Him first place in my life. God, family, church, putting Him first place in my life. So, we have making sure and understanding that we're to have a good foundation in the morning. We are to put Him first thing in the morning. Even encouraging you to get up in the morning and pray a simple prayer. I pray, Lord, you know, help me to live in the Spirit, not the flesh today. And Lord, help me to live in light of Your coming. Amen. And I want to make sure the first day, the first of the morning, that we started off right. Before we grab the phone and look at Facebook. You know, before we play Candy Crush. Before, you know, we look at Fox News. But we really have to be careful, don't we? Yeah. Get caught up in the just everything going on. Let's put the Lord first. Yeah. Our daily walk, our daily devotions is the food for the day. I've already touched on this, but it's our meal. Would you wait till supper to eat for the day? I wouldn't make it. I I wouldn't make it. I've had hypoglycemia since I was a kid, and so it does affect me. And I've found out here recently that I need to be a little more careful. About 2 years ago, I went back to the doctor, and he said, "Yes, you still have it, and you need to be watch out." And you know, when you get that feeling, and the feeling I get is nauseated. And so my kids now know. I say to them, "If you're nauseated, feed it; it'll go away." And so I'm supposed to be eating little meals and whatever the case is. But anyway, but would you wait till supper to eat? Now, there may be times you have to and work is going on. I've done that many times. You're just busy and you don't eat until supper. But to do that every day, it would hurt you physically. You have to feed and put fuel to the physical body for it to function correctly, right? I mean, it's the way we're built. And why so many times spiritually we wait till supper to eat? Breakfast gives us fire. It gives us energy for the day. And we need spiritual energy for the day by giving God just a few minutes in the morning. Just a few minutes in the morning to get that day started off right. We need to be careful about donuts every Sunday too, every day. I tell my wife a lot, because I like cereal, and she's always on me about eating the cereal. And I say, "Well, they feed it to kids for breakfast," because she'd say it's a dessert. You know, it's along the same lines. I've said, "No, they feed it to children. They advertise it on TV for children to eat for breakfast, the most important meal of the day. It has to be good for you." Apparently it's not. Unless you eat some cereal that has zero taste and like chewing cardboard. And you know how to fix that, don't you? Put some sugar in it. But we do have to be so careful, don't we? As we ought to be careful physically, and I'm preaching to myself when I say that, we need to be careful as much or more careful spiritually. That we're feeding our spirit man properly. And I can make some more analogies, but you know, sometimes we get in the habit of reading books and not the book. Amen. And I'm not against reading Christian books. I'll read a couple of books on whatever, you know, something doctrinal, something a little meaty. I haven't read a fiction book in forever. It's been so long. But then I'll read a biography because it's like candy. It's just, they're easy to read and they're inspiring. And I'm talking about a Christian biography, by the way. And man, it's awesome. But we need to be careful that we're leaving off reading the book. This is the book that feeds and fuels our spiritual life. We need to fuel the spirit man. Psalm 55, verse 17. "Evening and morning and at noon will I pray," the psalmist said. Remember that Daniel prayed three times a day. Just that simple example for us. Jesus got off to himself and prayed early in the morning. And David spoke about praying morning, noon, and night. It's just remembering that we need to be spiritually fed. We need to feed the spirit man and do so first thing in the morning. We can spend a lot of time, but I want to just encourage you again. Feed the spiritual man. Make God priority first in the morning. Our foundation needs to be right. It's a necessity in this life if we are to accomplish anything great for the Lord. And then we are to put God first in our everyday life. And then, again, feed the right food to the spiritual man first thing in the morning to get the fire going in our spiritual life. Let's all stand. Verse invitation, hymn 153, "I Surrender All." I surrender all. Devotions in the morning. Having that daily devotion, that daily walk. I told the class I teach out at Norris at the seminary this morning, I said, this is something we all still struggle with. And I think, I don't know that anybody ever gets complete victory in your life. It's kind of like, you know, it's like God prompting you to tell somebody about the gospel, about Jesus. And it's still hard for us to do that, isn't it? Yeah. You know, and so, man, the devil will discourage you, do anything he can to get you off track. But when he gets you off track, what I'm getting across tonight is, that you start over every day. You start over. I know I push it a lot, but Christianity is a daily process. I'm so thankful for that. We can start over every day. After we pray, we'll sing. Heavenly Father, we thank you for, again, the Bible and the food that you've given us for, to feed the spiritual man. Help us, Lord, to put you in priority in our life in the mornings and get up and have our daily walk with you. And God, we thank you that we can start over every day. And we'll thank you for what you're doing. In Jesus' name, amen. Hymn 153, I surrender all.